This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Like I said, we're battling. We're trying as hard as we can. And, you know, hopefully we can make enough plays and be the best we could be. It doesn't all remains to be seen. So, you know, you can make a bunch of predictions and so forth. And that's not what it's about. It's about going out there and doing it. And, you know, a lot of guys made some plays tonight and try to build on it and see if we can do better next week. So, thank you, guys.
Brady wants for Christmas is AB, but I don't think he's going to get AB for Christmas. Maybe. Is there a chance? Can we speculate about that for a little while?
No chance of Gronk. That's passed officially. No. But
right. No ever chance. Since the turtleneck, Gronk is out.
Gronk's getting better on TV. But yes, the Russians ski instructor look was out. They need AB. They need to give Brady what he wants. He doesn't have any. He doesn't trust these receivers, Greg. Yeah. I'm in on the whole idea that there is a trust issue between Brady and these receivers, because, like I said earlier, 2/3 of the offense last night went to James White and Julian Edelman. So Edelman basically is the only receiver 12 games into the 2019 season that Tom Brady trusts. Hmm. You don't buy it?
No, I think, he was frustrated last night, obviously.
Enormously frustrated, swearing at the receivers on the sideline. Precipitating that was an interesting little nugget I found from arguably, I think, the best young football analyst on TV, Dan Orlovsky, who works for ESPN, former NFL quarterback for 11 years. He saw something on a route the Patriots ran late in the first half where Brady threw a long bomb and it just landed by the sidelines. Now, it seemed innocuous to us, but he went back and rewatched it and found something very interesting that I think exposes this trust rift between Brady and all the other receivers.
Watch the right hand come up. Tell him I gave him a double move. Look at right there, and he didn't get it. And watch what he says. I'm done with him. I can't. I'm done. Lack of trust from quarterback to the receivers is a big issue with New England's offense right now.
So basically, Orlovsky saw Brady give this little pistol-like double move sign to Dorsett before the play, indicating run along, go route along the sideline.
Yeah.
Dorsett runs the post. Brady looks like a knucklehead because he throws the ball nowhere. Goes to the sideline. Watches it on Belichick's favorite device, the Microsoft Surface, with McDaniels, shows him that I gave him the sign for the read. He ran the wrong route. And then you can literally see Brady say, I'm done with him. I can't do anything.
Done with him.
Done with him. I'm not sure if it was a done with him or done with them, but he's mouthing out loud what we believe he's felt for weeks now. Like, he can't pretend or hide his frustration with this offense and especially these receivers anymore, because he's caught on the sideline saying it. And then you saw the speech to him, couple F-bombs there over Edelman's shoulder to Dorsett. We got to be faster, more explosive. They were none of that last night.
Yeah, and Boomer was kind of justifying that a little bit earlier this morning and saying it's loud in there and that's why he's raising his voice, but I don't think that's what...
Combine the inability for the receivers to be able to communicate and understand what Tom's saying with the fact that this may be the worst offensive line Tom Brady's ever played behind. So he has to get rid of the ball quickly, hot routes, players have to get open faster than normal, and none of them seem to be able to understand what Brady is telling them to do.
And when they get hit in the hands with the ball on fourth down, they drop it. I'll say,
but Curtis, he's a second-year guy. How does he not know that?
Who, Dorsett?
Yes.
Oh, no, this is his third year with the Patriots because they got him in 2017, and he had been with the Colts for 2 years. He's a five-year veteran who has Brady's trust. The man passed the protocol, so I'm not going to just chalk it up to maybe Dorsett wasn't feeling good from the flu to the concussion or whatever it was. It's just everyone's trying too hard right now. This offense, when it's in sync, when the Patriots' offense works, everyone plays fluidly and quickly. They can run a no-huddle because everyone is on the same page. They're hive mind. Right now, everyone is thinking, so it's slow. There are misreads, and it's a mess. It looks like 11 different guys trying to run 11 different plays.
Here's a text that says Tom Brady needs to get over it. But how's he going to get over it?
He got over it in the fourth last night, Greg, and only threw to White and Edelman. And in garbage time, they actually were able to stress and fatigue the Texans all the way to a meaningful onside kick by their best player, Jake Bailey, who should be doing everything. Kickoffs, field goals, punts. And honestly, can he play wide receiver?
But Brady can't get over this, and the reason he's so angry is because he knows he no longer has the ability to rise the level of his teammates the way he used to. That his game, unfortunately, like everybody's, has hit a wall. That he is not the same player he once was. And that, I believe, is at the root.
What does that mean? You just heard Orlovsky say the guy ran the wrong route. Like, how does Brady rise above a guy running the wrong route?
Okay, look at the entire game last night. Look at all the games recently. He has not been able to throw receivers open. There were a couple throws where he was off the mark last night, and he simply is not or does not have the same confidence in himself, and that's being projected on his teammates as well.
Well, the pick is not his fault, clearly. I mean, that's on Harry, right?
I'm buying now that it's more Harry than Brady. And last night, I was just like everyone else, pissed that Brady threw what seemed like an unnecessary pick. But Brady will eat the whole blame pie on that one because he'll just say, like, you can't do that in that situation. I mean, you can't throw a pick on the 25 like that. He gave basically him a free touchdown. A free touchdown.
Let's see. Here's a text that says he doesn't have enough time to find the I mean,
he moved well last night, Greg. He did. I mean, Curtis, when you say that Brady can't throw the receivers open, that Brady isn't the same guy, look, he may now be second-guessing both himself and the talent surrounding him. But in terms of everything from ball velocity to placement of most of the passes to evading the rushers last night, and I'm not talking about the 13-yard scamper that everyone went wild about.
13-yard scamper took him an hour and a half.
Hey, but he still made it, dude. Look, he's not Mahomes. He's not going to move like Watson made that incredible move avoiding the sack from John Simon earlier in the game. Like, yeah, these guys are the future of the NFL. But Brady is still moving better than anyone his age and or most of the quarterbacks in the NFL. Maybe this whole season is just depressing because all the favorite quarterbacks we grew up or have watched for the past 20 years are getting old in front of our eyes, and it's just not the same football anymore.
This is Art from Walpole. What's up, Art?
Hi, guys. I'm not in a great cell area. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah, we got you.
But you guys have been way too kind to Tom Brady. I just turned on the radio. I don't know what you said previous to the last couple of minutes. Tom Brady, I've seen this Tom Brady before. We saw him, the same Tom Brady, a lot last year. He had Gronk. He had Josh Gordon. Brady's in a funk. Yeah, he doesn't have the greatest group, but he's done this. He's dealt with crappy receivers in the past. He's indecisive, and he's inaccurate. He's got the deer in the headlights thing. He's hearing footsteps. And you guys are being way too kind to him. He's a big part of the problem offensively.
Well, listen, a texter agrees with you, essentially, and says that this is partly Tom's doing. They are just now trying to get these young guys involved. It's 12 games into the season, and that's because Tom Brady has to, quote, date, unquote, his wide receivers before he's going to trust them and allow them to be involved in the offense.
Well, you remember what he said to Aaron Andrews last week in the pregame before the matchup with the Cowboys? He said he prefers throwing to the veterans like with Jules, and I'm paraphrasing here, I prefer throwing to the veterans because then I don't have to be a coach, and I'm not a coach. I'm a quarterback. This is this whole weird 2019. We've heard Brady say, I don't pick the players. I'm not the coach. That's not my job. I'm just an employee. It almost feels like, I think I'm going to throw up when I say this. It feels like he is starting to, like, let everyone know, like starting to carterize some wounds, like, guys.
This like is, he's this disengaging?
Yep. Hello, Mike Vrabel.
So this is a part of the disengagement process.
Oh, he's consciously uncoupling from us.
He's moving a few things out of the house in anticipation of being gone, finally, at some point.
Well, Belichick gave him an empty room to live in for, like, the year. He should be surrounded by the best of things. This is amazing. This was his last year here, potentially. They gave him nothing. Brady has never dealt with
a group like this. AB.
Oh, yeah, like half-ass after the fact and then ripped it away from him.
Yeah.
The fact that you guys really stop putting down Izzo like that in Lacoste. They gave him so much.
Can we stop hearing
Moss was like celebrating after one catch. Stop celebrating, dude.
Can we stop hearing about Dante Scarnecchia this year and how he's the greatest coach in the history of the NFL and belongs in the Hall of Fame? I mean, has this offensive line improved at all? all season?
Well, it's held up, wait, dude. Look at
on,
it.
Hold on a
Two
second.
Two dudes back to back. I like it.
When it comes to Save excuses, though, I mean, what, like, look at the, I mean, your starting center goes down before the season starts. I mean, you're not, you're.
Yeah, and it's the center. He could, this is a quarterback of the offensive line and a really, really good one who almost single-handedly managed Aaron Donald in the yes. Super Bowl. He
what about
went
your
down.
Kicker? Your kicker also
we
does.
Have nine kickers. Yes. We've had 15 kickers, and the one that we let go on the practice squad is nailing onside kicks and blasting 50-yarders for the Falcons. But, hey, we got Cobra Kai Forbath, everybody.
Here's a 781 text that says, the media in Boston have a lot invested in their relationship with Brady. They will not tell us if Brady's play is declining. I don't know about that. I mean, I think that maybe they're referring to us. I mean, I think Curtis has been pretty upfront this morning in talking about Tom Brady's play declining.
It's pretty obvious for anybody who's watched every snap of Brady, like everybody in this region can see that it's just not the same. I'm sure a large portion of this is the fact that he has no confidence in the receivers that are around him, and he's disgusted by the inability to get a second of time to throw the ball.
But is there a quarterback currently who you would put with this offense as it is assembled and composed at this moment, who would do any better?
Oh, of course, Lamar Jackson.
If you had Lamar Jackson as a backup, I was thinking this last night, it would be interesting to see if Belichick would have put him in just to change things up if they couldn't get the offense going. It's kind of a gimmick move, but yeah. Maybe he would have.
Oh, you mean like sort of like bring him in? I'll tell you a way I could see them using Lamar Jackson. There's a guy by the name of Taysom Hill who's a quarterback that the Saints drafted a couple of years ago. They use him on trick plays all the time. He's caught four touchdowns. He's thrown touchdown passes for them. He also plays special teams. So basically, he's a Belichick wet dream. Had the Patriots not passed up on Lamar Jackson, they could have used him in a Taysom Hill role, and it would have eased the pressure on Brady and opened up this offense. But what do I know? I'm just a honk.
Here is Bish. What's up, Bish?
Good morning, Gregory.
We're going to see you at the Jingle All the Way 5K on Saturday, Bish?
I will be there. First off, a rehab stint. I had an injured hip and everything, so I'll be ready to roll.
Jeez. All right, good.
But Greg, the thing that really ticks me off about Brady, and I'm going to sound like fake take Laird here for a minute and rip Brady to shreds on this, it all starts in spring practice. You know, you just mentioned that he has to date and build a romance with his receivers. Last time I checked, the open opportunity started in spring practice, but he was too busy on his promotional tour for his TB12 book or his Swiss watch or, you know, the cars that he's trying to sell and pitch that are almost $100,000. And he could have honestly been fully committed by coming off a Super Bowl when it's almost borderline entitlement, saying, I just want a ring. I just beat the Los Angeles Rams in the Super Bowl. What do I have to prove at spring practice with these rookies? And the thing that is also aggravating is he criticized them as being robotic on the sideline, if you read his lips.
Yeah.
The thing is, he's the one that's robotic. He is the one that needed to build the relationship with these receivers to know that N'Keal Harry should have not stopped his route on the sideline and continued up the field to either a post route or a corner route, and he just stopped short. And he's the one bitching and moaning to N'Keal Harry, saying, where were you? Hey, Tom, start looking in the mirror.
Huh. Wow. They're turning on him quick here. Hello, Paulie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
What's going on, Paulie?
All right, a couple of things. I don't know why they didn't sign Velda here when he came out of retirement last week. He was one of the guys the coach said was going to make the roster. They expected to make the roster. Came out of retirement to help some team in the stretch run, and they didn't grab him.
Well, actually, Paulie, that's a good point. Well, that's a good point, Paulie, because they brought Jared Velda here in the preseason to be a swing tackle for them, and they really could have used him. He decides to retire, and then last week, out of nowhere, the guy says, oh, you know what? I feel good again. I'm going to play. So the Pats had to release him from their retired non-football injury list, and he settles out, and now he's free, and the Pats didn't bring him back. So I think he's talking about, Paul, you're talking about not bringing back in some depth that they wanted in the preseason, right?
Yeah. And you also create a little competition there, you know. And, you know, these guys, they need, but I'm sure he's better than Newhouse. That's for damn sure. But in terms of offense, you're going to have to get a burner. I don't care if it's a guy off the street that you will run by anybody that will just absolutely have to double. because these guys give these intermediate receivers like Edelman and Sanu and Myers, who can all get open, Breed to operate. But in the meantime, if you can, you're going to have to just go five wide because you're not really running the ball anyway. And when you know it's an obvious passing down, you're not really getting consistent protection up front from your offensive line. It's still a lot of Swiss cheese. And then he is getting that tear in the headlights look because he's not confident in his offensive line.
Yeah.
So what you want to do when it's obvious passing down, you want to go five wide, just put him in a gun and get it so we can get rid of it quicker, guys. Get it to their patents quicker. You can get rid of it. That's the best you'll be able to compensate for now. But you need a burner. We need a burner.
Well, a texter says this is all on Gronk because he waited so long to tell them what he was
going
to do.
On them for not knowing Gronk what he was going to do and relying on someone who was clearly ready to retire to come back to your team and how they built the roster.
I think there's as much egg on the Pats' face for what happened with AB as there is for thinking Gronk was going to come back.
When really?
Most of us, yeah, they should never have thought he was coming back. I never thought he was coming back. He's too happy. The Patriots are getting throttled on Sunday Night Football and desperately need somebody like Gronk to help them open holes in the run game and get open down the field and stretch out this really, really small passing window. And instead, A, we see him and Camille on Instagram in Connecticut getting a tree, and B, NBC trolls us by showing Gronk dancing with the Lakers girls. You've got to be kidding me.
He's absolutely playing next year.
Here's Jim in the car. Jim, what's up?
Yeah, it looked like an ass dancing with them girls. What the hell is he doing, for crying out loud? Hey, listen, two quick things. Has anybody thought about maybe that the coaches in the league have started to finally figure Belichick out? And the two quarterbacks that beat us on 1 second run, right?
Yeah.
So if you notice, he don't do that. He don't have a quarterback that can do that. But I think that the time has come where the game has gone a little bit further than what Belichick is right now.
Oh.
He's got to compose himself and think in his mind and come up with a solution how to beat these teams with running quarterbacks. If he does, and when he does, then we'll still be back to winning Super Bowls because no one else can beat us unless they have a running quarterback.
Full-on panic. 10-2,
yeah.
A loss last night. And Bill Belichick is now being outsmarted by every other coach in the NFL.
How is Belichick the most meticulous coach in the NFL? You remember the Super Bowl video from this past offseason where he's getting the exact second that they're closing the dome so he can know which side to kick off from to begin the game, is sitting there and relying on Gronk coming back, the biggest total unknown, to help your team win another Super Bowl. That's what he was relying upon if you look at how he built the offense and how wrong he was to believe in that.
Well, Tom Brady is going to join us in about 20 or 25 minutes, 8:45. It is a Patriots Monday here at WEEI.
Later this afternoon on OMF, Bill Belichick joins the guys live in studio to break down the loss to the Texans. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, it's Cyber Monday, as you know, Hillman. Trending now, brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. 99 online exclusive this Monday and Tuesday. Cyber Monday double bonus. For every $25 you purchase, receive two $5 bonus cards. Offer valid only at 99restaurants.com. Monday and Tuesday only at 99. Always the real deal. Boomer Esiason joined us earlier, brought to you in part by DCU and Vertex. You tried to get some optimism or some, talk us off the ledge.
Man, it's going to be really hard to talk you off the ledge with the way that they played last night, man. Their first half was terrible.
So he ripped them, as everybody has. It's interesting, though, you say, Belichick, the criticism of Belichick. If his defense would have come up with a stop after the James White touchdown, they have a legitimate chance to win that game.
Yeah, so where do you stand on the greatest defense of all time? Have they now been exposed by really good teams?
Of course. I mean, they're finally playing good teams.
Yeah.
They 9 of their 10 wins have come against this division and the NFC East, which is the worst division in football. Even Fitz, you'd admit that.
No, I would. The NFC East doesn't deserve a playoff team. Maybe that extended preseason that was the first 8 games, which created the boogeymen, was basically a paper
tiger.
They're paper boogeymen.
It was a paper tiger.
Hey, Greg, remember that video Edelman did that I said may come back to bite them in the tip? You loved it. We all loved it. How have they been since then? Not so good.
Yeah.
He allowed 4 passing touchdowns. Jonathan Jones beat on 1. The other was that Sean Watson trick play, the option pass. That was unbelievable. Next up, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. That's 425. Fitzy, I have it under good intel. SWAT team outfits for the Patriots linebackers this week. They're going SWAT team.
Really?
Going to turn their fortunes right around. Ravens over the Niners, 20-17. Jets lost to the winless Bengals, 22-6. Bills, of course, with the Thursday winner over Dallas, 26-15. Tonight, it's Vikings and Seahawks. We will have it at 7:30. Bruins keep rolling, a seventh straight win. This one, a 3-1 victory over Montreal, comeback fashion at the Garden. They'll have Carolina tomorrow night. Celtics beat the Knicks, and they will host Miami on Wednesday. And Steve Adazio, press conference today for BC football. New head coach is a-coming. It's the Greg Hill Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Hill Show on WEEI.
We all got to do a better job. Give up 28 points and then it's on. Didn't really make any plays in the kicking game. So, we got to perform better. Coach better, we got to play better.
Decorations are hung by the fire. Everybody.
It's December, and we got Christmas music, and we got snow.
Yeah!
And it's normally the month where your New England Patriots are playing their very best football. And I got to tell you something. Full mode panic on the text line. I just got a text, I kid you not, that says, for a coach who never overlooks the importance of detailed preparation, why didn't Bill Belichick insist on flu shots for the entire
great
page.
Point.
It's a very good,
question. That is not a great
it's
point.
It's a valid
Are you
point.
Kidding me?
I heard Steve Belichick doesn't believe they work.
Steve Belichick.
He's an anti-vax guy.
By the way, Danielle, not a fan of the mullet.
I feel like I need to develop, because I know people love my voices. I need to develop a voice for Steve Belichick's mullet, and it needs to have its own
character. What the mullet is thinking during the game?
I've forgotten them damn flu shots.
He's looking a little like the guy that got kicked out of the rock band who continues to try to show up at practice, but they don't let him in, so he just hangs outside the studio.
We got a gig this week, right, guys?
Semi-homeless.
Yeah, a little bit.
He was at the kids' table this week, which was kind of weird.
This is Jay. Hey, Jay, what's going on?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up,
Jay?
Hey, and lady.
Hello.
Hello. So this one's all on Robert Kraft. It was his decision to keep Brady in the first place, which is fine. It's not a bad decision. It got us into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you're going to keep Brady, you got to find a way to make him happy. And by not signing AB and not taking AB back, you can see the look on Brady's face. He's not going to be here next year, whether he retires or whether he goes to another team, unless AB comes back.
Well, the first part of your argument that this is on Robert Kraft for essentially forcing Belichick's hand with regard to Jimmy Garoppolo, do you believe that Jimmy Garoppolo behind this line and with the weapons that Tom Brady has is any better at this point?
He wouldn't have done much better than this.
I don't think he would be as great as Brady was, but we would have had a sustained longer success run by, I would say, 10 years, where we would be somewhat relevant in that division. Now we have, we're going to have a huge falling off. The Jets are going to get better. The Bills are definitely better. We're afraid of losing this division. If we want to keep it, we want to keep that success the New England way, then we should have listened to Bill Belichick and kept Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Because Brady's not going to be here.
Here's a 508 text that says, you guys are overlooking a huge story this morning. Patriots paid the weather machine to have the snowstorm come so that nobody would be discussing how horrible they were.
Oh, that's
wow.
Well, that's not happening because everybody is discussing how horrible the offense was last night.
But I thought Ernie Adams used up all the weather machine fuel last week so they could beat the Cowboys by four.
By the way, if they kept Garoppolo, they would have given Jimmy Garoppolo weapons. Belichick would have done everything in his power to make sure he succeeded. He takes Brady for granted and he gives him nothing.
Why? I do agree with this text message. And I guess it's a hindsight thing, but why get rid of Josh Gordon?
Bizarre. You're right. He's better than anything else they have. That is looking like a terrible mistake.
I mean, isn't he?
Yeah, and watch. We could see him tonight making big catches on the national stage, again, like he did a few Monday nights ago, for Seattle, who was more than happy to pick him up. What I had heard was that he wasn't ghosting the Patriots, but wasn't showing up for either rehabilitation or keeping in touch with them the way they had wanted him to. And that, with picking up Sanu, led them to just say, you know what, we're going to preemptively strike before anything else could go wrong. And it seems like it's going to, like letting the kicker go to Atlanta, backfire.
Yeah. This is George from New Jersey. What's up, George?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey. What's up?
Hey, I was a little caught off guard by Sanu's lack of production last night. And I was curious if you guys thought he was, or still is, potentially more injured than most folks are leading on, and if he was just back there essentially to field punts because they don't have a punt returner as kind of a sure-handed guy and more or less as a decoy, because he had some really nice production versus the Ravens, and I think if they were able to get him healthy and get some production out of him, that could be certainly a huge boost to what they need offensively, because it's obviously been a mess. So I was curious if you guys thought he was maybe more injured than he's been leading on.
Well, George, initially the reports were that he was going to be out 2 to 3 weeks, which with what they were saying was a bad ankle sprain. Now, he came back a little sooner, looked pretty good in practice last week, and some thought he was actually going to play against the Cowboys. He's back there just fielding punts cleanly. They're not going to let him run again after he hurt himself against the Eagles. He's not a decoy. It's just that he's running a lot of these simple short routes. I think last night I read that his average route run, he was targeted at like 4 1/3 yards. I mean, that's like, these are like James White level screen passes from the wide receiver position. And this is exactly what offenses are going to key on. They're just going to flood the middle of that field until you prove that your offense, the Patriots, can challenge stress or beat people deep. I don't think he's hurt. It's just that these short guys are getting irrelevant.
What a horrible trade from Belichick, then. A second-round pick for what they've gotten. I mean, look at that. They got the same compensation for Mohamed Sanu as they got for Jimmy Garoppolo. A second-round pick for that receiver who can't do anything in this offense.
So with regard to your decline lead this morning, I'm going to call it the decline lead.
Yeah, my life.
Is this... You're making a comeback. Don't worry about it.
Big one.
Huge.
Is this Bailey. The worst... It, when it comes to the wide receiving core, is this the worst that Tom Brady has had in 20 years?
No.
This is as bad as 06. I think it is as bad.
No, Guy. In 2000, Guy.
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 How guy. Bad was 2006? Guy. How bad? Yeah. Okay, 2006. Again, Doug Gabriel for a while was the second best receiver on the Patriots. Doug Gabriel. Rashay Caldwell. They had nothing. Jabbar Gaffney became their best receiver, and the bones of Troy Brown. That was the worst receiving core that the Patriots have ever had, hands down, under Brady.
This is Steven from Mattapan. What's up, Steven?
Yeah, I'm saying that they got rid of Garoppolo, and Brady doesn't want to spend as much time in the OTAs and getting on sync with those new and rookie receivers, whereas if Garoppolo was there or Brady would have done as he'd done in the past, he would have worked out with him before the season, and then he'd have a little bit more going on with his receivers. So that's the problem with them getting rid of Garoppolo and keeping Brady.
Well, by the way, I get the OTA argument, but it's not the first time that he has skipped OTAs.
Yeah, but he had he had Gronk last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that he had like 65% of Gronk. Gronk wasn't the receiving threat, but at least he was a decoy that could drag coverage. So he had the benefit of Gronk being out there, not 2014 Gronk or 2011 Gronk, who could run roughshod over any coverage.
Here's a text that says Tom Brady has the weapons. He just chooses not to use them.
What? Who's the weapon? What are you talking about?
Okay.
Guys.
Texter, we're going to need a little clarification there.
Why are you sleeping on Matt LaCoste?
I mean, it's embarrassing. Yes. Matt LaCoste, Ken pointed out correctly.
Got a catch for a first down last night.
One catch, and he does like the Macarena in the middle of the field.
He was pretty excited about that first down.
Hey, Macarena.
Tom Brady is going to join us in about 8 minutes. Scheduled to join us in about 8 minutes. This is Steve, the Ravens fan. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Greg. I just wanted to know if you had room on your plane for the trip to Baltimore.
I'm worried that that's going to happen. I mean, Nick's been talking about the fact that the Patriots may end up being a wild card team. It's on the table. Is it on the table, though?
I didn't say it was in the center of the table, but it's on the table.
It's like a side dish.
Yeah.
It's like the green bean casserole.
Might be an app.
It's like when two people sit at a four top and the waiter comes over and moves the salt and pepper and the candle to the back of the table to give you more room. That's where it is on the table.
Hasn't taken it off the table.
Correct.
But it's still
there.
On the table. Greg, okay, let's say the Patriots finish 12-4. They get the 2 seed. They survive a divisional round. And then here we go, just what we wanted. The Ravenarok, as the gentleman in the booth, as Statler and Waldorf dubbed it, they would get the rematch with the Ravens, and they go down there, and the defense plays better, and the offense is in decent rhythm, but there's just something home fieldish that helps tilt the field in favor of the Ravens, just like in 2015 when they lost to the Broncos. That is going to suck. That is going to absolutely suck from Methuen to Marblehead, because they know they could have had it, and they blew it.
Let's see. Here's a text that says, this is all because Bill Belichick wanted to win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. I don't know. We've been arguing about that since September about you believe it, right? Yes.
Of course. What else explains the lack of a plan for this offense?
Well, Gronk giving them last minute notice explains it. What?
Gronk said I guess Gronk has gone back and forth, but you can't count on that. That can't be your plan.
Greg, you have said from the beginning that you knew that Gronk was not coming back to play. The first time, it was the first thing you said to me, Gronk's not coming back.
Before I even met you.
Right. Yes. So why does Bill, why the disconnect with the smartest, most brilliant NFL mind in the world? Why was there a disconnect?
Well, I think that was clearly a mistake. Just like not getting the flu shots. Huge mistake. Huge mistake. This is David from Maryland. What's up, David?
Hi, good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Hello there.
Watching that game last night, I was very kind of shocked, you know, that the Houston Texans were able to pull this game off. But what a great game from Deshaun Watson last night. You know, a bit of, you know, rack up some passing yards and, you know, get through that Patriot defense. Living down here in Maryland, now we know who the best team in football is. Number one seed, the Baltimore Ravens. You know? I know you all don't want to hear that up there, but, you know, this team is Super Bowl bound. And
listen,
the Patriots, you know, I know we might have to play the Patriots in the playoffs, but, you know, with Lamar Jackson, this is a different team down here. We got the team that we need to beat the Patriots. Flacco couldn't do it. Flacco couldn't do it all the time, but this is a very special player we got down here.
Did they take another end zone picture yesterday? I wasn't able to see that.
Yeah, they took a couple of them yesterday. It was a very, very interesting game. And all that being played in the nasty weather, you know, we could have actually beat them worse, just like we could have beat the Patriots worse. But, you know, they kind of let up on them at the end. But got a very promising team down here. I mean, the Patriots had a good run for a while. They were a great team, but the reins have taken over now, I think, in the NFL, and now we got a great team down in football.
All right, Earl Thomas, with your Super Bowl predictions before Thanksgiving. Take it easy, all right? Lamar Jackson hasn't even won a playoff game. The Ravens are taking over. Nice team you got
up here. The city of Baltimore loves this show.
Yes.
After every weekend, we got like 15 calls.
I am going to rent a 18-wheeler truck and just have the laugh from Nelson in The Simpsons going, ha-ha, if the Patriots beat the Ravens, and I'm going to drive it around Baltimore for an entire day until they dump me in Fells Point.
All right. Well, we got to take a break. It is a Patriots Monday. That means Bill Belichick this afternoon at about 5:30 or so, and Tom Brady scheduled to be next.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Tom Brady is brought to you this week by Northeast Electrical Distributors, powering New England businesses with electrical products, services, and solutions. Also by your New England Honda dealers, driven by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V, and by the Mass General Cancer Center. Every day amazing. Tom Brady also brought to you today by Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in the sexual health of men. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Greg. How you doing? Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just got home pretty late, but just kind of getting the day going.
Well, obviously, you're not happy when there's not a W, and a little bit of a frustrating night last night. Have you had a chance to kind of go back in your head over what happened last night? And do you look at kind of that first quarter and the kind of the slow start as being tough to make up for, or how are you feeling this morning?
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you go on the road and you get behind early, it's, it makes it pretty tough to overcome. And we got behind in Baltimore and, couldn't fight our way out of it. We got behind in Philly and did, and then, came down to Houston and, couldn't. So it's just, you always want to play from ahead, and we've done a good job of that at certain points in the year, and yesterday we didn't, but proud of the way the guys fought, and we hung in there. We got a shot at the end on the onside kick to get one last chance, we just came up a little bit short.
How much of a factor was the flu when it comes to this team?
I don't think it was a factor at all. I mean, I think, different teams are dealing with different things, and everyone has adversity over the course of the year. And, it's a long year. You don't have you just don't wait till everyone's, feeling great to play a game. The games are scheduled, and then your life happens. So it's basically from September through December, and then whatever happens. And, we've dealt with a lot of different things, whether it's injuries or personal family situations, or in this case, a flu bug or something like that. But, you just kind of deal with it the best you can. And then you go out there and play, and hopefully you can get the job done.
Tom, on the off chance that you do get sick, are you a giant man baby when you do?
I try not to be. I try not to be a.
That's a yes.
I try to just go with the flow, so not much I can do. I feel bad. A lot of guys, it was a pretty tough flu bug. A lot of guys were pretty wiped out, but, everyone played hard yesterday, and, again, just wasn't our best performance, and we're going to have to, try to figure out how to be a little more consistent as we move forward, and we got a, equally important game this week coming up.
You sound a little congested this morning.
A little.
Yeah, we had a long flight, and the game ended pretty late, so.
It's a dry plane air, Tom.
Can't reveal anything.
No, nothing.
No, nothing about congestion or anything.
His voice
like that.
Doesn't sound deeper or anything today.
What, Tom, if any positives can you take away from last night?
Well, I don't think that it's, every game is its own, it's really its own thing. It's, and there's not much you can carry over from one game to the next other than learning from one game to the next. I mean, there's not, this week is an entirely new process and practice and game plan and scouting report and everything. So, you know, it's we just got to figure out how to be more consistent and, you know, just figure out how to stay on track and you know, get the ball in the red area and you know, just do a little bit better job, and it'll put us in a better position to win.
There's been, I mean, there's been some lip reading that's gone on this morning. There's, it was clear to us watching that there were times that you were frustrated last night. And I just want to ask, with regard to these receivers, is it, you know, is it in your mind that they should be farther along than where they are right now? Or is it that you guys are not communicating the way that you want to be communicating? Kind of where are you at on that this morning?
I think, you know, everyone's working hard. We're trying to do the right thing. And, you know, it's there's some good effort out there. And there's, you know, guys are doing the best, you know, they can do, in my belief. We're working hard and trying to do the right thing. And you know, sometimes it's been good, and other times, you know, we obviously have work we still got to do. So that's just part of playing football. It's, you know, sometimes people have it figured out early, and some people, you know, we're trying to figure out as we go, and that's just part of it. That's just part of what we're dealing with. So just going to keep trying to go out there and, you know, it's, put our best out there and hopefully it's good enough.
Tom, you said just a minute ago that you guys need to find a way to be more consistent, find a way to play better, and find a way to do things that you haven't been able to do, like score in the red area, which was something that reared its ugly head again last night. You guys had first and goal in the six early on in the game. I'm just wondering, it's not code, but does that mean really rely on the veterans more, or just kind of go back to basics? Because of the 440-something yards you guys had last night, two-thirds of them went to two players, Edelman and James White.
Yep, so what's the question?
Well, my question is, are we going to get to a point where you can't really rely on the young guys getting involved that much more, and you're just going to have to rely on the veterans to try to, the old tried and true horses, to get you where you need to go?
I think the reality is you got to rely on everybody, and everyone who's in there has to, you know, the coach always says, just do your job. And I think we just all have to do a better job doing our job. So, you know, if offense doesn't go through one player. I mean, offense doesn't go through two players. You know, a coordinated offense needs to go through 11 guys. And the line can't throw passes, and the quarterback can't block, and the receivers can't run, and the, you know, the running backs can't, you know, split out, and sometimes they do. But, I mean, for the majority part, we all have our role in the offense. And, you know, good offenses, you know, have everyone on the same page doing the right thing on a consistent basis. And it's not always going to be perfect. Football is not a game of perfect. It's just got to be a game of pretty good. And, you know, it's just we're learning as we go. And, you know, by no means is, you know, we're not 2-10, we're 10-2. And I know there's very high expectations as there are for us. And, you know, I think there's just the expectations for our team often are, you know, a very, very, very high level. And I understand that. But at the same time, I think there's realistic expectations with our circumstances and incorporating different elements and players and injuries. And again, we're just trying to do the best that we can do. And, you know, we've got our whole season ahead of us, and we got to learn from the things we did last night and try to go out there and, you know, get a really tough win against KC and see if we can get back to winning. And that's what's going to be the most important thing this week.
I know there's no such thing as a comforting or loss to you that is acceptable, but does it make it any more frustrating when you go on the road and you lose, not just to a team that you've had had your way with or had good luck against, but when there are a lot of familiar faces on the sideline. You know, you know Bill O'Brien, obviously. You worked with him for years. You know Romeo Crennel. You won Super Bowls with him. Is it any more frustrating when you lose to guys that you used to go to battle with?
You know, they earned it. So I think you appreciate the level of competition they give you, and they gave us a great effort. And I thought they played well, and they have a lot of really good players, and they make it very difficult because, they have really good players in the secondary. They have really good linebackers. They have good guys up front, and they don't give you anything easy. And you got to go out and you got to earn it. And, you know, I certainly have a lot of respect for them as a team, players, and coaching staff. And I wish we could have done a little bit more.
Speaking of the Chiefs, is Mahomes the best young quarterback you've seen come into the NFL in the last 10 years?
Is this a ranking question?
I leave those to Nick.
Maybe.
But I...
Nick.
I mean, you don't have to rank him.
No, he's pretty spectacular. I think very highly of him and his skill set, and he's a very good player. And the reality is, they have a very good team and a very good offense. They have very dynamic receivers. You know, one of the best groups in the league. They got one of the best tight ends in the league. They have some great running backs, and Patrick distributes the ball to all of them. And, you know, it makes it very hard to defend when, you know, you have a lot of players that you can get the ball to. And, you know, it's a big challenge for our defense, and offensively we're going to have to play a great game and going to have to, you know, take advantage of our scoring opportunities and keep from turning the ball over and see if we can go out there and beat a very good team at home.
Obviously, you guys want to end up with that number one overall seed. How important to you is that, to get that?
I think that's the furthest thing from my mind is anything like that. So I don't care about any of those things. I care about, you know, the winning the game that's coming up. So. I know everyone likes to, you know, think about those things this time of year, and it doesn't matter. I mean, we've been 10-0 at this point. We've been 5-5 at this point. You know, you deal with those other things as the weeks. So you can't control that. Only thing you can control is go out there and trying to win and putting ourselves in a good position. And, you know, you can win one game per week, and this week it happens to be against the Chiefs, and we're going to have to play, you know, a great game in order to beat those guys.
Tom, I had mentioned you throwing to and getting the veterans involved a bit more last night and getting the offense going, which leads me to our Needham Bank. Needham Bank, can we be your bank player of the game, which we've determined is James White, who had 177 yards from scrimmage last night and 2 touchdowns. After he hadn't been such a big part of the offense for the past couple of weeks, how did you get him going late, and how important is James White going forward to this offense?
James is a spectacular player, and anytime we get him the ball, it's good for our offense. He's just a great teammate, great, you know, just always doing the right thing, and you can count on him. And from the time that he got here till now, I think our whole offense relies on him to make the plays when his number's called, and he's just doing a great job for us. That's a great choice for the player of the game.
Tom, I always like to give you the opportunity when you're on here to kind of address these things that everybody's talking about. And so we talked a little bit kind of about what you may have been saying or what may have been said with regard to a couple of receivers last night. Do you end up, you know, in the heat of the moment, because you're passionate and because you want to win, do you end up saying, like, people look and say, all right, he's saying I'm done with him with regard to Dorsett, or, you know, he's upset at Harry? Does that end up being something that you guys as a unit kind of understand is going to go on because you're in the heat of the battle?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are, you know, I would never think that way, you know, I'm done with him, or, I mean, that's crazy. You know, I think, you know, quarterback's responsibility is to try to lead and motivate and, you know, we're often the voice of, you know, a lot of situations because first we're calling the plays in the huddle and B, we have, you know, a lot of information because we spoke with the coaches and the coordinators what we're trying to do. So we're trying to motivate people and get people to, you know, play their best. And guys are trying. I got no problem with, you know, I love playing with Phil Dorsett. I love playing with Nikhil. Nikhil's, you know, working his tail off and he hasn't had a lot of opportunity out there and he's learning as he's going. But, you know, to expect someone to go out in their third game of the year and, you know, be perfect, I think that's unrealistic for anyone. So I love what Nikhil's bringing. We're gaining confidence every week. I love what Jacoby's doing. We're gaining confidence every week, gaining confidence with Muhammad. You know, Julian and I, we played together for a long time, and I think that shows itself pretty well. I think you see, you know, James and I, we played together a long time. So that's just part of our sport is, you know, dealing with, you know, new situations and trying to deal with them the best way you can. And this team's faced some unique ones to in and of itself. And, you know, just like every team has, we're not any different than any team. But, you know, at the same time, we're in a decent position here. And now we got to go try to beat a great football team at home in Kansas City.
Tom, I know it was a disappointing loss. It was a long flight home, feeling a little congested, and you got a lot of work to do to get ready for a difficult opponent like the Chiefs at home this coming Sunday at Gillette. But, you know, after a weekend like that, I just can't help but want to ask, I mean, do you get a little time to yourself today, and is there anything you can do to cheer yourself up, like maybe a little binge shopping on Cyber Monday? If Rudolph is on tonight on CBS at 8 o'clock, maybe a little peppermint hot cocoa with the kids. Watch Rudolph.
Yeah, that's, you know, getting the holiday spirit a little bit. It's a good time of year. I mean, football season, the games matter a lot. And, you know, it's not like we haven't dealt with losses before. We dealt with them last year. We dealt with them the year before that. And I think a lot of it's about mental toughness and realizing that, you know, when you don't play well, you don't win. You're not supposed to win. You're not supposed to win when you put less than your best out there. And sometimes you get away with it, and most of the time you don't. So I don't think anyone's feeling sorry for us. We're not feeling sorry for us. We're going to go out there, and we're going to try to have a great week of preparation and see if we can get back to winning. And we'll let, you know, everyone else kind of enjoy the holiday stuff at this point. But for us, you know, our focus is on football and trying to do a better job this week than we did last week.
Quarterback question of the week is brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing in the sexual health of men. It's from a 781 texter who wants to know why Michigan can't beat Ohio State anymore.
I think I was the 781 caller who posed that question.
Oh, geez, we got to ask him that question? Jeez.
I'm at a complete loss, so I have no idea. It's been tough. I got a few bets I got to settle too, so that makes it even tougher.
Yeah, I was going to ask how much you had riding on that one.
I know, mostly pride and a few pictures that will be, I'm sure you'll see at some point.
Oh, I see. We got a jersey or something that has
hopefully
to be worn.
Hopefully with my face covered, or you'll probably know it's me.
You lose a bet to Ebner again?
Ebner and John Simon.
Oh.
I know, and they love to collect and gloat just like most, you know, Ohio State people do. They're very, gloating, I think, is part of what they love to do that.
Well, I mean, come on. They did try to trademark the word "the," so what do you expect from Ohio State, right?
I know.
All right. Well, back to work, and hang in there, and thanks for being on this morning, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
All right.
Feel
bye,
better,
Tom.
Be good.
There he is. Tom Brady.
Sick as a dog.
Oh,
Greg, you could hear his uvula flapping when he was breathing. He sounded like the Predator.
Excuse me, that's his courage hangy ball.
It was 8:40. What when Dan 9:06 when Danielle said courage hanging ball?
That's a Full House reference.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I get to analyze his answer when it comes to the young guys. I mean, I thought that was somewhat interesting.
I mean, that was great, but this was the highlight.
Yep. So what's the question?
What is your lead?
Like you wouldn't, yo, look at the two of you just celebrating in there. Like any chance to jump on old Fitzy. At least I make things happen, you festering
Ken
turds.
Ken had that cut up before he even took a breath following those words.
Like, I didn't want to.
He's like, there were 100 words in there, but I didn't hear the question part.
It wasn't about the red zone, then you like backpedaled.
I tried to lead him towards.
Mandalorian was in there?
The question. I tried to lead him towards it. I thought he got it. My bad.
Yep, so what's the question?
Yeah, the question is, why am I here? What is the purpose?
All right. Well, that's Tom Brady. It is a Patriots Monday. Bill Belichick will join OMF at about 5:30 or so this afternoon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.